What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Praise Podcast. My name is Eric Lydon. It is so good to be here with you today. Of course, I am joined by none other than the co-host of the Praise Podcast. The Brooke Paninsky is in the house, and we are excited for the conversation today we are going to be having. We're going to be talking about a book that Brooke has been reading. That was a wild two combo. A book that Brooke has been reading. What is the book's name?
Created to Hear God.
Created to Hear God by
Havilah Cunnington.
Havilah Cunnington.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be talking about that book here in just a little bit. So if you've read the book, well, then you know what we're talking about, which I have not read the book, which is going to make this conversation probably slightly fun.
Which is, it's your idea, which is...
It was my idea to talk about a book that I've never read, but you've read, and yeah. I just feel confident enough
that I'm reading, but yes.
Yeah, it's true, that I can carry on a conversation with. But no, there's some stuff in the book that we were discussing that I thought was probably worthwhile to talk about. So anyways, that's what's coming up.
Okay.
So stay tuned for that. But before we get there, how are you today, Brooke?
Great. Good. You know? Today is a beautiful day.
It really is.
And I always, I know myself, and I am just a different human when winter goes away. I'm much more tolerable to be around.
I can feel it radiating off of
me. Can you really? Yeah.
Glowing today.
It's been two warm days, and I just feel
like 80 plus.
More like myself than I have in the last 5 months.
I got outside yesterday, and I don't know. There's just this weird thing. I think there's an element of... It's for sure a guy thing. It's also an element of like a dad thing, I think, as well, that just like something gets unlocked. But like one of my great joys in life is just piddling in the yard. And so yesterday, that's what I did.
What is piddling like for you?
So piddling yesterday.
Like in the yard. What do you do when
you
piddle?
Okay, so well, I didn't get home. I got home about like four o'clock, okay? And so the kids were at my parents' house, so they weren't home yet. So I said, you know what? Adrian was trying to like our yard, just which I'm sure everybody's yard, but like it just feels like our driveway and our landscaping just get annihilated with weeds like immediately. So Adrian was trying to deal with some of that. So I needed to mow, but you know, because Brooke, I live in the country.
Yeah, you and, country boy. Yeah,
and you know, I have such plot of land.
Yeah.
Just kidding. It's just a normal size yard. But anyways, like we do have like a wooded tree line that pretty well almost, I guess, really three sides of our house are surrounded by like a tree line, basically, or our property line is surrounded by trees. So there's just a lot of like leaves and sticks. And like I try to keep that area kind of mowed down because, you know, got kids and just trying to keep it to where if a ball rolls into there, it's not, you know, like crazy hard to get or whatever. So yesterday I still had like in my mind, like really mowing my yard is like knocking down all that brush, weed eating, trimming, getting around all the trees. One side that I have a neighbor on, he's got some trees over there, but I usually like will mow around those. And so I hadn't really done that yet. The first time I mowed was just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get a sign in my yard if I don't mow soon. So I just very quickly like knocked it down to make it look. So yesterday included some stick picking up.
All right.
I've been in a big just limb cutting phase right now. I'm just cutting down. If it is even remotely in my way while I mow, it's gone. I'm cutting it down. So yesterday, my neighbor... He's got some trees that are on our tree line, and there's some branches because I usually mow around that, and he's cool with it, but I usually mow around those, and there's just some branches that I'm sick of fighting with, so I was like, hey, you care if I just kind of clean this up a little bit? He's like, yeah, go for it. So I got rid of all those, so now I can ride my riding mower underneath all the trees. I couldn't even get to them. So
that's amazing.
That's done.
I mean, what a bonfire to come.
I have so much brush to burn. And I started the other day. I burnt all day. And I bet I'm not even halfway through the amount of junk that I need to burn.
Wow.
I mean, I'm cutting down small trees.
It sounds like it.
So, yeah. So I weed-eated. I weed-eated. I trimmed. I cut down some limbs, branches, some trees. got all that. And so today, this evening, I will actually mow.
That's awesome.
So yesterday was just all the prep
work. You guys
work
knocked out a lot then.
To get ready to mow.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have any trees, so we don't have to worry about that.
No.
We just
you're pretty wide open. You live in the plains.
We're pretty wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. But like while you mow, what were you listening to?
I was listening to the Masters.
Cutting down trees.
I was listening to the Masters.
Yeah, we had this conversation because you've not been listening to the music you need to be listening to.
Yeah.
And so, or at least you're on, what did you say, the strike kick and whatever else you can find.
Yeah, so,
and so we're talking about, and yes, the Masters were going on, so you're listening to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we were just so, since Brooke's calling me out, she.
Because I still made you pick a song, but I am still going to keep you accountable.
Yeah, so. We always do. If you're a regular listener of the Praise Podcast, you know we always do a song spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
And we were getting ready to start, and I go, oh, I need to pick a song. And I don't know, I was just thought about it, looking through what I had been listening to, and mm-hmm. I told Brooke, I was like, here's the reality. It appears in the last 2 weeks, I've not really listened to anything that I would consider to be Christian music.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I go through these phases.
Yeah.
And this is not an excuse. So, I mean, it doesn't, you know.
Real talk.
But, yeah, I go through these phases where, one, it's just like when you do Christian music for, like, your job, you're just surrounded by it at all times. And so sometimes you just need, like, a creative break. Because let's be honest, a lot of Christian music sounds the same. It's written the same.
Mm.
There's not a lot of new and innovative stuff happening in that. You know, it's all the same people putting out the same stuff, really, which is a conversation for another day.
Mm.
But so there's that. And then two, like you, when it starts to get warm, my mind just like, because growing up in like high school, college, like I lived at the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it starts to get warm, my mind changes to like
lake
mentally, mentally, I'm on a boat, I'm on the lake and I'm relaxing and chilling. And that's mentally where I'm at. And so there are certain songs and soundtracks that go
that just put you there
that go with that for me.
That's so good.
And so it's like window downtime, you're driving, you need certain songs. So yes, I have not been the best at listening probably to what I should be. But it's not like I'm listening to like just, I mean, it's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I listen to, right now, the band I'm listening to, and this one of my bands I love, they're called The Strike.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're actually Mormon.
We were talking about that.
I think they're actually Mormon dudes, but which is.
A whole other conversation.
A whole other conversation. But anyways, they just, their music's not bad. Like, it's not like they're.
I love you're like a teenager, mom. Yeah. It's not bad. Yeah.
It's not like I'm listening to. It's not explicit.
No, but here's a real question: okay? So can you just real talk? Because this is a teachable moment. It really is, because I think we've all been there. Because you have a point when you say like creatively, like it is. That's a real conversation to have, and I know exactly what you mean by that, because. The way you can write music and the way that you can receive the making of music or the sounds and the style and the writing, the structure, just the storytelling, everything about music and other genres, like it really does, it is so different. And there is a lot of that I can appreciate. But here's a question. So like, have you noticed in the last 2 weeks, like, in the filling aspect of that, has it made a difference? And you can say no. I'm just curious.
No, I would say, I would say probably yes.
Yeah.
Like, and again, it's not like, these are,
explicit, inappropriate songs.
Yeah, it's not.
You're
like
right,
it's
they're not.
You know, so I mean, I don't feel like it's like leading me down. You know, like some like path like, of like, gosh.
But your intention.
Yeah, but no,
know,
I
like,
think because of
opportunities. Of
like
thought.
There are, yeah, there are. And something that I'm trying to do better at is, like, there really are just so few moments, and I'm sure everybody's like this. You know, there are a few moments when, especially when you're an adult, you have a full-time job, yeah, and you have kids. Like, mm-hmm, there are certain moments that, you know, like, you actually get to do what you want to do, mm-hmm, or, like, you actually have a moment to yourself.
Yeah.
And so, like, you have to take advantage of those. Mm-hmm. And so it has been, I would say it's more of, like, I can feel inside of me almost that, like, which it feels funny to say and even cheesy probably, but it's like, it's almost like letting out this rebellious feeling that you push back so much and you're like, no, I'm listening to this because I want to, and I'm not going to listen to a podcast right now that's going to teach me, you know, or I'm not going to listen to a sermon right now, or I'm not going to listen to, you know, whatever, worship music right now. I want to listen to what I want to listen to.
You are a teenage boy.
Yeah. And so in that aspect, but then I notice, mm-hmm, because again, you know, you might only get an hour a day,
yeah,
where you actually can
fill yourself
up. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm, for sure, mm-hmm, I've chosen, mm-hmm, not to always use that hour in the best way, probably. Mm-hmm. This week.
Yeah.
So that's just the reality. That's the realness.
I love that though.
Yeah.
Not that you are making poor decisions.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I'm
I love leaving, that you're honest
leading
about
a
it.
Life of crime and
no, I mean, I think it's a teachable moment because, like, I just don't fill myself up with anything sometimes, like music or podcasts, or like, I want absolutely nothing. Like, I want to listen to no one. I want to, like, I don't want to do anything. Yeah. Like, I'll just be so tired. I have
spent a lot of time in silence driving as well.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, silence is just, like, all I want. And, but you really do, like, feel a difference, like, when you're intentional with your time. And so, we've been on the last, like, week or two, we have, like, almost, I don't know if it's like a daily thing or whatever, but we've tried to daily of like walking or reading or just doing something that's like physically or mentally like fulfilling, mm-hmm, and like good and like something to do something. And then when you're done doing it, you're like, okay, like I feel better or I feel accomplished or I feel like I've learned something. And I have noticed a difference like in the last week or so doing that intentionally. With more specifically reading this book, mm-hmm, because I think I was more of in a rut like before that of just like the silence and like, I don't want to read anything. I don't want to talk about anything. I don't want to listen to a podcast. And then to kind of like pout for a second, you know, and then get back up and like get busy and do what I need to be doing. And I just feel a difference this week. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and it's cool. So, but I went on a walk this morning. And the song that, see, I'm still going to do song spotlight. I don't know if you're going to participate or not, but I'm going to do
it.
I made you pick a song. Did you pick one?
Yeah, I have a song.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure if it was my song from last week.
But you're like, but it's, well, it was. We were talking about it last week.
Were we?
The Brooke song, Brooke Legitwood song?
See, I don't, yeah, I just don't remember.
It was, if it wasn't last week, it was the week before that. Because
really should write down the ones that I do.
you're right. But Caden, because Caden was in his office, and because you were like, well, how do we feel about this song?
Yeah, but and I don't Caden know if I talked like, about it on here.
I don't know if you did either, but we were talking about it.
Oh, for sure I talked about it.
Anyways, all I'm saying is the song that I'm picking for Song Spotlight after this 20-minute intro is There's Nothing, is what it's called, by Amanda Cook. And I'm pretty sure she's Canadian, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But she's got this, like, rustic Carrie Jobness about her, which is probably why I like that song so much, because it's so not my style that I can't do that. Like, we've talked about this before. I'm not a soft person. I'm just not, and I'm not a singer, and even when I do sing, it's like I can't do that softly. I just don't know how. And so then you get people like Amanda and Carrie and the Tiffany's of the world, and it's like they can just like, and I love the space that puts me in, like their meekness comes out even in their worship. Like, that's just like, there's a gentle, but yet like bold, soft, like, but yet powerful, I don't know, essence of their voice. And I just love that. So it's like, I can't do that, but when someone can, I'll just sit in it. It's just so good. But yeah, it's just, it's called There's Nothing by Amanda Cook. And it's definitely like, it's a good, it's just a good vibe for like prayer time. I don't know. Just like need to settle in and like catch my breath for a second. Like, it's one of those songs.
Yeah.
It's really good. So that's mine.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, mine would be potentially for sitting at number one for 2 weeks in a row, potentially. I don't know.
Because you don't know if you did it last week on the podcast.
But it is Bless God by Brooke Elijah Wood, which Cody actually wrote some of it as well. Yeah. But and
I don't remember what song you did last
time. I don't either. But I think it was Stand in Awe by Bethel. But that's...
They all blur together.
They know.
Either
they
way,
they
Bless God's really good.
Bless God. Mm-hmm. It's a song that the first time I heard it, I was like, "Eh, it's fine." Mm-hmm. And then I would say that it is the one song, it is the one song that has, like, when I am ready to give my just secular, you know, my reckless living music that I had been listening to when I'm ready to give it a break. Bless God is the one song in the last 2 weeks that has worked its way into that rotation.
Yeah.
And I found it.
The bridge of that song, stellar.
Yeah. So I think we're actually doing it this week.
No way.
In service.
Way.
I think so.
Great.
Yeah. So there's that. Bless God by Brooke.
That's so good.
The other Brooke.
Mm-hmm. The better of the two Brooks.
I've never met her.
Oh my gosh. Well, speaking of people we haven't met.
Yeah. Or books we haven't read. At least one of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So, Brooke, why don't you? So, yes, this, so you mentioned it earlier. So, I think, so basically, Brooke and I both, I think, kind of, in the, it's, you know, whatever, it's been a crazy stretch of life. And so then we kind of challenged each other to basically, like, look, we got to do something that's going to, refresh, restore, refill. And so that's what she was talking about earlier. So, for me, for sure, that's exercise. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, reading as well, but for sure, exercise. And then, Brooke was going to read or whatever. So the book that she is reading, say the name again.
Yeah, it is called Created to Hear God by Havilah Cunnington. And
of the best parts about this book is
what?
We were down at Carbondale. Uh-huh. It was like me and Brooke and Noah. Uh-huh. We had to go down to Carbondale. I remember why we were there, but we were there. And
we had to swap some stuff out.
Yeah, we were swapping equipment out, whatever.
And,
but
yeah.
I feel like I've gone down there so many times I remember like all the times why I'm there all the time. But anyways, so we swung into Barnes and Noble, and then,
which we love to do.
Brooke just walked out with this book. She's like, I know nothing about it, but
yeah,
I have it.
See, and we were talking about that. Like, we were in Barnes and Noble, and we were just like, well, I guess it was you. You were saying how you don't like to find books in Barnes and Noble. It's because it's hard to find books. Like,
I don't
you can
know
never
how.
Find, yeah,
I physically, mentally, educationally. If
alphabetical
somebody
order
from Barnes
so
and Noble
difficult.
Is listening to this podcast, please reach out to me. Tell me, other than typing, like I want to be intelligent enough to walk into Barnes and Noble and understand the system.
Yeah,
is it by alphabetical order of the book title? Is it by the author? Is it the author's first name or last name? And just help me. Help me understand how to find a book on your shelf.
Yeah, and see, to me, I like it because it is alphabetized by the author's last name.
That's what they say, but then next thing you know, you're in the W's, and then all of a sudden there's like this S, and you're like, I thought I was just in the W's.
Someone didn't put it in the right spot. Oh my gosh, you're such a baby. And so what I like about it is because it is not as like it's not like you're at a grocery store and everything's like forward facing and you're just picking out a box of cereal you want. You know what I mean? Like you really actually have to like look and read and pull out books and touch them and see them and whatever. And like, and so this book, and so when I find a book at Barnes and Noble, that's what makes me excited because I'm like, I actually had to dig and read and like really hunt for this, for this book. And I found a good one. So anyways, so we were there, we were doing that. And I just felt prompted to grab this book. And I was reading, like, you know, like the bio at the beginning. And at first I was just like, eh, you know, I'm like, not that interested, not that interested. And then it started talking about, like, prophetic personalities and equipping you with biblical discernment to distinguish God's voice from the noise of others. And this and this and this and this, powerful tool that blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, now I'm interested. And so then I bought it. And I'm almost done with it. But yeah, it's been interesting. It's structurally really easy to follow. And I think it's really good food for thought. And so, I mean, I don't really know all what to say about it. But what's really cool is one of the first things, the first like quotes that caught my attention about this book, it says, even so, some of us can't avoid that some things just feel more spiritual and other things feel more secular. This is important because too many of us think that people who hear God are super spiritual, and to hear God, we must become more spiritual. This isn't true. Spiritual isn't something that you have to become. It's something that you already are in Christ. Just because somebody has a certain kind of spiritual gift, say prophecy, doesn't mean your gifts and your ability to hear God or anything you bring to the table aren't also profoundly spiritual in their own. So anyways, I just think right out of the gate, she points to this lie and calls it out of this weird, I don't know, just this weird, like the elephant in the room sometimes with people, of people being more spiritual than others. And then those who are in their, like newly on their walk with the Lord, feel this weight of intimidation or a lot of questions, or there's confusion that comes when they are with people who are seasoned in their relationship with the Lord and who have a lot of wisdom and experience and all these things. And it's like with it being language they use, or whether it be stories they tell, or whether it be even simple things like, well, the Lord told me that X, Y, and Z. And then you have a new Christian who's just like, what is the Bible? You know, hearing someone talk like this. And then immediately there's just this, like, it kills the unity, you know, like there's just division immediately, and a great intimidation that comes over people when we have conversations like that. And the enemy uses that, especially in today's time, a lot. It's so prevalent. But I love that too many of us think that people who hear God are super spiritual, and to hear God, we must become more spiritual. And that isn't true. And so that to me just opened the floodgates of why this conversation was worth having, or like why this book was worth reading. Because I think as someone who has a lot of those conversations with people, and someone who is on both sides of those conversations, sometimes I'm on the side where people are like, oh, Brooke, you just whatever. But then I'm also on the side of just like, oh my gosh, I have no idea. You know, I've teetered both, you know, in insecurity and in boldness, and walking that with the Lord. And I'm like, this book could really hold some gold nuggets from the Lord, like through Havilah, of just like, okay, how do we go forward here? And talking about and distinguishing, like hearing the voice of God, and how do we do that, and in what ways do we do that? And so it's just really cool. So that's kind of the intro, I guess, of this conversation and of what this book is really about, and the prompting that I had to kind of dive in and read it, because it's just pretty relevant. It's really relevant, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the part that interested, or that kind of, I guess, sparked my interest was, mm-hmm. I don't even remember what we were doing, but basically Brooke says, you know, she brings this book over, lays it down, and says, you need to read this. This is you.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, you know, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. And then, but anyways, basically in the book, they talk about the different ways people hear from God, correct?
Yeah.
And those are what?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the first one is, let me see if I can get them all right. So the first one is the hearer. The second one is the seer. The third one is the feeler. And then the fourth one is the knower. So there are four distinguished, I guess, topics that Havilah dives into. And not to say that it's like limited to those only, but those are the four like most common, she calls prophetic personalities, like that she kind of dives into in this book.
So I was intrigued, you know, as I'm reading, kind of scanning through what, you know, and I won't unveil which one I am yet. But anyways, can you give us like a, because anyways, it's worth talking about because it really did make a lot of sense and it did resonate. And I think that it does, it opened up for me, somebody who hasn't even read other than the 6 or 7 pages that I read of that section, got my wheels churning and really started to make me like think back to situations and moments and things where you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense then. Or, oh, okay, so maybe that's why that was the way, or I thought that about that, or I felt that about that. So if you're somebody maybe sitting out there who is in that boat that feels like you're not spiritual enough to hear from God, or you're not, you know, you don't hear from God, or you don't know how to hear from God, I think hearing these, you know, four ways might open your mind up a little bit and help you understand that, like,
oh,
this is a moment that God's speaking to me, or, you know, have at least have clearer eyes to see those moments and how God might be speaking to you. So let's, if you can, give us like a quick, I guess, summary of each one. So like if you're that way, people at least kind of could start to identify with one of these.
Sure. Okay. Well, I do feel like really put on the spot because I had zero time to, this is genuinely just what I've absorbed,
yeah,
I guess.
Just,
so here we go.
It's like a book test.
It really is. Okay. So, the hearer is the first one that she dives into, and I'll kind of read through some of these bullet points because this is one of the ones that I resonate with a lot. And let me preface also by saying some of the four, you might feel like there are elements of all four of those that you really, I'm like, oh yeah, like that's me, you know? And there might be nothing about one of them that you're like, yeah, absolutely not, you know? Mm. So it's not, you are not bound to one or two of these. Like you can hear God in multitude of ways. And what I love is before she even really dove into all of these, you know, you were divinely created to communicate with God. Period. He is the creator of communication. He is the word of God. And so it's just like the book that we learn about him and know him is all words. It's communication. And I just thought, wow, I never thought about that before. It's such a good point. But you were created to hear from God. You are able to hear from God, period. And so this is really cool because I love that it just gives you an opportunity to then answer the question. So then how, in what ways do I hear from God? So it's not, am I spiritual enough? And then I can or can't, or like, I'm not there in my relationship. I can't hear from God. That's the lie. And so it's like, we're going to cut that. And we're going to say, you can hear from God. You do hear from God. You were divinely created to communicate with God. This book gives you a few avenues to open your eyes and to maybe give you a little insight on the ways that you were uniquely created to do that. So the first way that she talks about in this book is called the hearer. And it's the most common, I would say, way that people say they hear from the Lord. And it's definitely one of the ways that I feel like resonate with me. So some of these bullet points for if you are here, and I'm just going to kind of, I think that might be the best way to like summarize each one. But so what it's like being a hearer, and this is what she says, hearers receive the voice of God through words, phrases, and sentences. hearers seemingly have a direct line to God. God's distinct voice interrupts hearers' thoughts. Hearers experience God's words in real time in a play-by-play style. Hearers know precisely what God said and when he said it and where he said it. That is for sure like when I'm like, yes, absolutely, that is me. Hearers' faith and what they know God said to them is strong. Hearers learn from God through conversations with him. Hearers have a keen sense of confidence in what God is saying. Once hearers activate the word in their life, nothing can stop them. Once hearers hear God speak, they are immediately filled with courage. God relies on hearers to record his words. Hearers love to keep a record of things through journaling and or storytelling.
There's definitely a lot of you in those.
Yeah. And especially like, and not really knowing like, oh, like I'm a hearer, right? Like, let me see if this is. Yeah, let me read this. This is really good. But what I was going to say is I never really realized, oh, I'm a hearer. But then reading through this chapter and examples of what, like, that is, like, to me, if I had to give a play-by-play of my, how I communicate with the Lord, like, that's it. Like, I literally will hear him. And no, not an audible voice, but there have been times in, like, prayer situations. And they're almost just, like, my mind's eye, like, with visions or just, like, communication. It's just, like, it's almost like it's a thought, but it's not my thought. Like, yeah. It's almost like I'm saying it in my brain, but it's not me saying it. Like, it is, and which sounds wild, but it's just like that is the divine part of it, of our making and our creation. So this is really cool. Through that chapter, of course, I underlined so much of this chapter because I was like, oh my gosh, this is me. This is crazy. But this, let me see, which one do I want to read that's also good? Oh my gosh. Okay. To encourage the hearers, here's what I'll say. It says, but if you are a hearer, he, as in God, he has given you a direct means of perceiving his voice and the words he wants you to help deliver to the world. Hearers beautifully encounter the voice of God as a direct dialogue with the heart of God from the mouth of God. The more you listen and obey his voice, the more you have an anointing to share what he says with others. It's no wonder the church has elevated this prophetic personality because it is like one of the most common. You begin to recognize that he's speaking to you, which builds your confidence in hearing him, which I think is huge to encourage the hearers. And then she goes on, she says, you think it's just your thoughts until you realize it has nothing to do with what you were thinking about. God's voice is always smarter and clearer than your thoughts. Sometimes he will give you words and phrases for someone else. If you bravely share the words as God directs you, you can encourage others and give them clarity about what he is saying. It can literally change their lives. There's so much responsibility too, if you're a hearer. But it's also so important on the flip side of that, because she talks about pros and cons, you know. The con of it is like that everybody always looks to you as someone who hears from the Lord. And there's a situation with a group of people that I know, and I've seen that in a negative way, you know? And so like, you have to be so careful, and it's a humility thing too. And we all hear from God, sure. But like, it is when you're the one saying like when you look at someone, you're like, oh, like, I just hear the Lord say, like, you know, and then he has a word of encouragement for somebody and you don't know anything about this person, but yet the Lord is telling you these things about them. And then they're just like mind blown. And so it can be really easy for that person to idolize you in the way you hear from God, but it's your responsibility to be like, no, that's the prophetic. It's how we're created to divinely communicate with God. Like, it's him that, like, he's the cool one here, you know. It's only because of him. And then it's like you're in a situation then to encourage that person in ways that they can then, you know, encounter the Lord and hear from him or whatever. But it is super common for people in the church to be hearers. And it's also one of the, to me, I would say one of the number one things we have to be most careful of, because as soon as we get in the way of like interpretation or adding to things, or we get really prideful, like it can get really yucky. Mm-hmm. And so it's like we can take a very beautiful prophetic thing and make it gross very fast if we're not humble and if we're not careful with how we're stewarding like the voice of God. So I love that she says that it builds our confidence in hearing him when we practice like recognizing his voice and trusting with the things that he's either telling us to do or to say or to share or to write. It builds our confidence that we're hearing him, because it's not this like for me anyways, it's not this like audible, profound, loud, whatever. It really is just like, just this thought or like this quiet, quick. And I love that it says like in words or phrases, he's always very short and sweet. Like, and I'm very wordy, as you can tell, you know, as you know, anyone who knows me. And so it's like, he will give me just like a one liner or just like a few words about something. And it so beautifully articulates a situation or an emotion or a call or a direction or what. And it's like that, there's no way that's from me, because I would use a lot more words than that, and they wouldn't have been as good. So anyways, to encourage the hearers of the, of the world and of the church,
it's pretty fun. Cool. It's, and I don't know, like hearing all that for the first time again, I'm saying like it, I'm thinking back to all these different moments where, I've seen that play out in you or through you, you know, like where, Brooke will get this very, like, there's this very specific look.
Oh, no.
On her face. And you'll know, like, usually she'll take a deep breath. She looks up at the ceiling, and you just know, you're like, okay, she's getting something here, you know? And it's not like a weird, like, whatever, but you're just like, and she's basically, I think you can tell that you're processing, okay, how do I now put this into basically Brooke words, you know? But you just can, like, there's a different, I mean, you're a confident person, but there's a different level of confidence that comes. And I think that's how, like, for somebody like me, whether it's looking for advice, thoughts, creative input, whatever, you know, like, I can tell because there's a different, I think in there, it mentioned it, but there's just a different level of confidence that, like, I don't even, I mean, there, as you know, there will be things that I will question or I will push back on sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But in those moments, I just, like, you can tell because of the confidence that I know that you have behind it, which then tells me it's like, okay, this is, you know, it might not be what I want to hear, or it might not be, you know, the direction that I want to go, but I know that that's like, I know where you got it.
Yeah.
And so that's just an interesting.
Yeah. It's
interesting to think of all those times though, where.
Yeah. So interesting.
And that makes a lot of things make sense. What's the next
one? It's cool. So, okay. The next one is understanding the seer. And this was another one that I was like, oh my gosh, like this resonates with me a lot. So let's talk about it. So what's it like being a seer? God speaks to seers in dreams, daydreams, pictures, images, and visions. Seers see the world differently. Seers perceive what God is doing and will do, but not necessarily how. Seers see things as complete or finished from the very beginning. When seers see something, they envision what is supposed to happen. Seers' dreams and visions can be too big to accomplish without God. Seers are filled with great faith that what they see will come to pass. Seers get a vision that encompasses their passion and motivates them. Seers know there are no boundaries around what God can do. Seers can see beyond what most people can see. Seers have supernatural ideas and solutions. Seers see what heaven sees, and they have an aerial view of God's purpose. And so that, again, like what she prefaces at the beginning of all this, there'll be parts of it that you're like, oh yeah, those are me. And some of them of that, I'm just like, no, that's not, I've not experienced that yet. Yeah. But there are a lot of that about being a seer that do resonate with me. And like, when I, when there's, I need to find it. I just wish I was more prepared. But I love my favorite part about reading this was I wrote John Henniger's name down. When you show others the picture God has given you, they are filled with faith too. It's contagious. You can inspire others to move forward boldly, to believe they can reach new heights and embark on new journeys. You unite others to take one giant leap forward and believe for the impossible together. And all I could see was John Henniger and the vision that God gave him and trusted him with to steward the season that Central is in right now with multi-site campus and all the things like that. I mean, like when a seer gets a hold of what, like this big picture, the 40 steps down the road, it's just like, and I'll just talk about John. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't, but I want to. Like he is such a good leader in that way because he will be 40 steps down the road in confidence because a vision came from God. And then like the team that he leads, like it forces us to get the discipline and the perseverance and it stretches us, like it challenges us forward. And without a seer, without someone with great, great vision, like people who don't see would just honestly be stuck and content with the way things are. But when you've got a seer who's seen beyond where we're at right now, it's like, oh my gosh, there's so much more. There's so much more that God wants to do. And then because of their confidence, like he and his confidence, like he has not only taken just a team of people, his staff, but a congregation of people. And he's moved them forward to step into the bigger picture of ministry that God has for his church and his body. And that's so cool. And it gets me, I get excited like when I think about stuff like that. Like what would our world be without seers? And what would ministry be without seers? And the fresh life that always comes because seers are always forward thinking. I don't know. It's just really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just John Henniger wrapped up, tied in a bow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
He's a great leader in that way. So, but yeah, so seers, to encourage you, like, it says your seeing carries a legacy for your children and your children's children. You possess a piece of the puzzle that God is assembling. He needs someone to see the future with him, to dream the dreams that he dreams. And that's you. Which, how cool is that?
Yeah.
How cool is that? So, yeah, I don't know. I hope that encourages the seers because that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Number three?
Yeah, number three. Let's move on to the next one. See, I'm just like also reading as I'm talking because this stuff is just so good. Okay, the third one, this is called feeler. Okay, so what's it like being a feeler? It says, God speaks to feelers through emotions and sensations. Feelers have unusual sensitivity to their surroundings. Feelers sense what God is saying by experiencing his emotions. Feelers' emotions give insight into what's going on in the heart of God. Feelers perceive spiritual nuances that most people miss. Feelers can't explain why they feel something, they just do. God interrupts feelers through their emotions so they can partner with him. Mature feelers can feel something without being overcome by it. Feelers will carry what they feel with them. Feelers are powerful intercessors, and feelers' emotions connect to the mystery of God's heart, motives, and emotions. So understanding the feeler, to encourage you feelers, I underlined this part as I was reading. It says, as a feeler, you reflect God's heart. You feel God's emotions in unusual ways. You are very sensitive to the tangible presence of God. This is because you have a unique openness to the emotions of God. And then it goes on to say, this heightened sensitivity allows you to feel things that others cannot detect without or with their physical senses. I underlined, I'm not even a feeler, and I underlined more of this than I even thought I did. Am I a feeler? What does this mean? And I also love that it talks about the way that feelers are powerful intercessors. God wants each of us to be intercessors, but feelers have a unique call to pray on behalf of others.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm not this, and I think we both would probably agree with that. But I feel like hearing that, I am, again, my mind, like, I feel like we have, like, there are probably three or four people that come to my mind on our team, you know, like our worship team, whatever, that are that. And
Lee?
That was definitely one that came to mind.
Hope?
For sure.
Who's your third one?
I think, like, Laura.
Oh, Laura.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
But
that's cool to identify this in people.
Right.
You know, that.
But then, because just to think of like how impact, like those are, and then you said, you know, powerful
intercessors.
Mm-hmm. And like those are the people, or those are people mm-hmm. that, like, if I've got a decision I'm trying to make, or there's mm-hmm. something going on, or mm-hmm. there's something that I'm trying to figure out, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. trying to confirm something, whatever it might be, like, those are people that I go to and would have pray about something.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, I think it's interesting that she labels that as, you know, powerful intercessors, because,
yeah.
like, I mean, you need that.
Yeah.
Especially for somebody like me, because, I mean, like, that is... I can almost be emotionless at times. And so, like, for me, that is a very hard, because I don't feel like I don't feel one way or the other oftentimes in that. And so it's very hard for me to, as somebody who's not that at all, to A, feel that in somebody, or like, to know how somebody else is feeling, but then also to, like, know how to recognize that in myself, because I just don't have that ability. And so the importance of those people. And so, I don't know, just as you were saying that made me think of a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, it's cool because, I mean, when you talk about them and several others, you know, like
James McKenzie, he would be somebody.
Yeah. Randy Davis. Yeah. Yeah. And it is for sure more commonly found in women, but, like, I believe John is also a feeler, like our lead pastor.
He's an emotional ball bag. You guys give him a hard time,
but, like, that is a spiritual gift they have. And for them to be able to connect with God's heart for others, and to connect to feel the weight of, like, an emotion that someone else is carrying is a gift from the mm-hmm. Lord. And, like, I love when you're talking about that in the essence of we're having church. It says worship and intercession must go together. One is impossible without the other. If we don't have our feelers in the room, to me, what that says is we ain't having church. You know, like, mm-hmm. the ability to, like, feel the tension of dark and light. To feel the tension of, like, people are in this room to celebrate, but people are also in this room to grieve. Like, when you've got 2,500 people in a weekend, they are all in different mm-hmm. spots. And to lead in the tension of what these people come in here with, and to handle that with wisdom and with compassion and with patience, and to be encouraged and moved when someone's baptized, and to be able to, like, pray and intercede when someone is laying on the floor at the steps weeping a loss of what to be able to be all of those things emotionally for the people you lead, it cannot happen unless it's supernaturally.
Yeah.
And so that, to me, is, like, yeah, the James and the Johns, you know, they lead so well for the men who are feelers. The Danny Schlags are feelers in this house, which is incredible. And then it's also really cool that we'll talk about the next one about you and the way that you lead for the men in the house who aren't those things. So if you are a feeler, be encouraged, because you genuinely can reflect and carry the same heart of God, which is really cool. So let's talk about you, Eric. Are you ready?
Mm.
So the last one's called The Knower. And when I was reading this, I was just like, oh, this is 100% Eric Leide, without a shadow of a doubt. So, and maybe it's some of you listening as well. So what it's like being a knower. God speaks to knowers through intuition, wisdom, and clarity. Knowers receive the voice of God through a strong but undefined sense. Knowers have a spiritual sensitivity distinct from their emotions and physical senses. A knower's faith life is rooted in instinct rather than in feeling or thinking. Knowers are as spiritual as anyone else, but might worry they are not. That's also huge. So we'll come back to that one. Knowers can't always, you're like, please don't go back to that one. Knowers can't always explain how they know, they just do. Knowers lead with clarity, conviction, and wisdom. Knowers often know the best way forward. Knowers are commonly right about the way something will turn out. Knowers possess an internal light bulb that illuminates aha moments. When knowers ask God, they immediately receive clear direction. Other people often seek out knowers for their wise insights. Be encouraged, knowers. It says God's method of speaking to knowers involves supernatural perception, intuition, and wisdom. Though knowers don't process God's messages through their emotions, their divine knowing gives them a sense of great joy, deep sorrow, compassion, and strength. When you know, you know, which I thought was super cool. I'm going to look at another page. The one that I think is really cool, because this is to me what a lot of people are. Especially men. And then there's a lot of tension there of like, well, we just don't hear from God. You know, their wives are saying, I had a dream. Their wives are saying, I heard the Lord say, you know, And then you have husbands who are like, huh, what would that be like? You've even said, I don't know what you guys dream about, but I don't dream anything ever.
I just get chased in my dreams.
Yeah, you're like, I forgot my uniform.
I have two reoccurring dreams. Yeah. I'm getting chased, or I can't find something important that I need to do, whatever it is. So those are my dreams.
Yeah, which is just so funny because I really do think a lot of men are knowers. And there is this, I think Hayden is a knower as well, because he's not... an emotional, I think he can be a feeler sometimes for sure, but I think it's also cool because even it says like your supernatural perception, intuition, and wisdom, like you, you have the ability to like still grasp and feel the heart of God. Like, so, I mean, it's not saying like one does and one doesn't. Being a knower, where's the bullet point? It says, knowers have a spiritual sensitivity distinct from their emotional and physical senses. You still have a sensitivity to the heart of God, but it is separate from the things that you like, from your emotions. And I think that's like where the enemy comes in, especially in our men. And they say, you don't hear from God. You know, all these people are having these supernatural encounters, or they hear the voice of God, or they have these, you know, whatever. And then knowers, oftentimes it says, like, they don't think that they, like, it's like the FOMO is real. You're like, I guess I just don't hear from God. Like, I guess I'm not that spiritual. And part of me is almost jealous of the knowers, because I process, like, as someone who's like a seer, and I mean, I don't know that I'm a feeler, but I do, like, when I see and I hear, like, it does create like emotions, you know, and a lot to process sometimes. But it's just like, sometimes it's hard for me to just like draw a line in the sand and separate my emotions that have come along with things that I've heard or that I've seen, to then make a decision or to take a step or to whatever. But whereas the knowers, you're just like, like, that is easier to, like, distinguish for you guys. And to me, I'm like, oh, that just saved you a lot of time. So I'm like, that's a blessing. But I don't know. I think that's a lot of our men. I really do think a lot of men are knowers. And they're especially the kind of guys that are your people who say, like, this isn't in the book, this is just Brooke, but the people who are like, you're just so steady all the time. Like you're just, there's always just this keenness about you, you know, or you're not easily ruffled, or you're just steady, you know? And like people like me who, like, I love having friends who are that way because I need people like you, you know? And I think about Trevor. I think Trevor's a great knower. Trevor has, there is just this, like, because people say they just, oh, you know, you're just so steady. Like, you're not, you know, overly emotional about whatever, you know. And it's just like, I'll preach about that one day, but until that day comes, I won't. But it's like, there is a part of that that's good, you know, that you guys are steady for those in the body who need you to be steady. And that you just as clearly and just as confidently and just as powerfully hear from God. Which I think is important. I think that's the one that a lot of people, I mean, maybe just a thought, but I bet a lot of people are knowers and they're the ones who are like, I'm just not that spiritual. And that's not true.
Yeah. This is really the section of the book that I've read. This is the 8 pages just because, But no, reading through it, I mean, there is 100%, and I mean, I know you were jokingly saying, because I've said, but like, there really are things that, I mean, you just know, and I don't always know how I know them, I just know, and it's not like necessarily how to do something, but it's just, it might be an outcome, it might be the, like, the giftings of a person, or the, like, abilities of a person that maybe hasn't been tapped into yet, or, but I also, I think part of that, and it talks about in there, is I think I recognize too, not that the other ones don't have it, but there's also, I think that's where a lot of the weight comes from, because I do just know, and people don't. And you're like, they don't, like, I just know that this is how this is going to play out. And they don't see that yet. And I don't know how to convince them of it, or that, you know, they're not going to, but like, it's just the reality of like, this is the way this is going to go, or this is the way this is going to play out, or this is how they're going to react to this, or this is how they're going to, you know, or, because there's definitely elements of the seeing side that I resonate with. And then that's where I think I think because of the knowing side can lead to frustration for me, because I can see it. I know how it's going to play out and I know it's the direction, but it's like other people aren't there, you know, or other people can't, or I don't know how to, I'm trying to figure out how to get people to know or to see it.
What's funny,
that leads to, like, you know, then that leads to frustration, because I'm like, I don't, like, what don't you get, you know, or like, what don't you see, or what don't you know? That, and that's, and so
you're going to love this. So you don't even know this yet, but like, so part of this book, which is really helpful, is she talks about pros and cons, like ways to, like, then develop the knower. Right. So this would be like your section, but it's, one of the things is, knowers tend to overvalue their knowing and leave others behind, because that's exactly right. Like, there's just this confidence of like, no, I've seen it and I know, and that's what I'm gonna, like, y'all can waste time over here because I'm going over here, you know. And there can be a frustration that develops because you're like, like, why would I go down the path that, like, it's like you're looking at a map and you're like, no, that's the wrong way. And you're like, why would I waste gas and time and go the wrong way when my map literally is like, no, turn right. You know, like, I feel like it's something so simple like that. but you're right. Like, it can be frustrating. So like, that's such a good point. This is cool. It just, like, different things. So this might resonate with you. It says, quotes that people might say, like, what I'm about to read. If you say these things or thought these things, it could mean that maybe you're a knower. Something like, but something inside me knows it isn't the right time. Or I just have a sense. Or something like, you've not been able to hear from God audibly, and he didn't, or and you don't use the words God told me, but you still just know. God speaks to your life through your intuition because you are a knower. Yeah. This says, knowers are the most misunderstood of the four prophetic personalities. Because their way of listening to God doesn't always feel tangible, they can't say as others do, I heard, or I saw, or I felt. God's way of speaking to knowers doesn't involve their physical senses or emotions. Knowers don't typically have visions and dreams. They don't hear God speak in full sentences or phrases. They don't routinely feel God's tangible presence. If you are a knower, you might feel like an unspiritual person. You hunger for God and his voice, but when you enter spiritual environments, you may not really feel like you belong. You can't remember a time when you used the phrase, God said this, or God showed me that. If someone were to try to pinpoint how you hear God speak, you'd have to admit that he gives you more of an intuitive sense than a tangible feeling. The impressions he gives you do not involve your emotions. You might even feel personally detached from them, as in your emotions. To an outsider, knowers seem to lack proof they can hear God's voice, but evidence has nothing to do with reality. God's method of speaking to knowers involves supernatural perception, intuition, and wisdom. To put it simply, if you're a knower, God speaks to you in your knower. Some call it spiritual insight or inner knowledge. Others think it's just good old-fashioned common sense. But as a knower, you know in your spiritual gut when God is speaking to you and you respond to him. That's so good. Yeah. So encourage the knowers.
Yeah,
we need you, knowers.
I would say, I mean, I can't remember a time I've ever said God told me.
Yeah, I know. I know, which is why I wrote in all caps. Eric encircled it in my book. So read this, boss. Let it encourage you.
I think, like I said, hopefully hearing that encourages you. Knowing that, hearing these four types or, you know, that you connect, you know, you might've connected with all four, you might've connected one, you know, really strongly. But, for me, I thought it was just a really good, it got my mind thinking on, you know, just different ways. And it was encouraging to hear, you know, especially, you know, a lot on the knowing side, just, you know, that there was some confirmation and some, you know, whatever. What you think or feel is not maybe, you know, it's not crazy. So
yeah. So good. So Created to Hear God by Havilah Cunnington. I think she's the women's pastor at Bethel. So she's pretty cool. So follow her on Instagram, get her book, check it out. But she's, it's been interesting. So yeah, long podcast episode, but great golden nuggets of info.
Content. So we appreciate you all listening as always. Maybe you want to let us know which one you resonate with most. You can email Brooke at centralnow.com or Eric at centralnow.com or both of us. We'd love to have you join in on the conversation and hear from you. You can always leave those rating and reviews if you're listening through, you know, something like Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Google, however you listen. You can leave a rating and review. That helps the podcast get seen and heard by more people. And we always appreciate the message of Jesus getting heard and seen by more people. So we appreciate you all for listening. We love you all. Hope you have a great week. And as always, let's be people in every way and every day that bring the praise. See you next time.